It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
I lied. So, I figure I have two press conferences on the day of the game, so I'm asked a lot of strategic questions. So, my options were tell the truth, and I was asked both at shoot around and before the game. So if I tell the truth, it's the equivalent of me knocking on David Blatt's door and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. I could evade the question, which would start this, Twitter phenomenon. Who's going to start for the Warriors? Or I could lie, so I lied. Sorry, but I don't think they hand you the trophy for based on morality. They give it to you if you win. Tell me lies, tell me
sweet little lies. That's Steve Kerr after the game when yesterday afternoon he was asked by Tim Kawakami of the, San Francisco San Jose Mercury News. And he lied. Simply lied. This is Cap and Haw, Comcast Sports at WGN Plus is where you can find us and get our podcast on iTunes or at WGNplus.com. Don't forget, they'll replay the show at noon and then the best of the Cap and Haw Rewind tonight at 11 on CSN.
And what Steve Kerr was referring to was he took Andrew Bogut out of the lineup and Andre Iguodala in the lineup.
Correct.
Went small because of Iguodala's ability to guard
LeBron. Nobody's going to stop LeBron, but he can slow him.
And it, was one of those moves that you can prepare for if you're the Cavs, if you know about it ahead of time. If you catch it off guard, it's a little bit differently. And the element of surprise, which we have seen here in the Stanley Cup final, coaches will do all they can to conceal lineup
changes.
Ben
Bishop starting? Don't know.
How about the Blackhawks? They come out for warm-ups, and they're in their usual line configuration. They come out for the game, and there's Andrew Shaw between Patrick Kane and Brandon Saad.
Yeah, I'm looking at the – I'll never forget sitting in my seat, and I turn to my wife and the guy behind me, and I go, Brad Richards playing wing, or am I seeing things? Nope, he is.
No, he's playing wing, and he hadn't played there all year except for maybe a few spots, but it wasn't something that he was used to. So here you have Steve Kerr, who's as accommodating of a NBA coach as there is, I think.
He's a great guy, too.
The interaction, and it's a case of him being very forthright most of the time, but him offering the fact that he did lie to the media. Is it okay? Do you have any problem with that?
I have no problem with it. Because he came out and admitted it.
Right.
He said, guys,
sometimes I have to do what I have to do.
And I did what I had to do. But let that be a lesson to every coach, executive, GM, that if we call them out and say, that guy's a liar, your brethren are the one that paint this whole narrative, that it's out there.
Difference between Steve Kerr lying yesterday in this, under those circumstances, and let's say, local example, the Bulls telling us that they haven't contacted Fred Hoiberg. It's going to be a national search, and they introduce him 4 days later.
That's fine. Again, they could do what they want to do, but don't you dare sit in your seat in the United Center, I don't mean the fan, I mean the executives, and then say, hey, man, we just gave you an answer. Why are you questioning us? Don't try and fix one lie with another lie. If you want to, after the fact, go, look, we had already talked to him. Yes, I just couldn't say that at the time. Okay, I get it. It's business.
That's the difference, isn't it? You still feel a little bit you in a general sense. We still feel a little bit, I don't want to say miffed, but it just rubs us the wrong way, the way the Bulls handled that, because they were telling us to look at something, and it was definitely not something that they were misleading us.
But there's a difference.
And telling us that they weren't.
Steve Kerr had a means to what he was doing. The means to there was a reason for the lie. Mm-hmm. Same with John Cooper, Joel Quenneville. Gamesmanship. There was no payback for the Bulls, because if Gar Forman had sat up there and said, look, we're moving on. We got philosophical differences with Tom. Jerry's statement speaks for itself. We will come up with the best coach. Might be tonight. It might be in a month. But when we have him, we'll let you know. Period. Instead of, we're going to do this exhaustive search and we didn't know till Wednesday we were going to fire Tom. Come on, man. Stop.
You know what it suggests? It suggests that the Bulls have something to hide. It suggests that the Bulls had something to hide in that we find out that. So when the Iowa State athletic director is found to have visited a search firm 9 days before Tom Thibodeau was fired.
It just makes everything look bad.
It creates an aura of suspicion that you think, well, geez, they must have known, right? Rather than had they been so forthcoming, I agree with you, Cap. Had they said, well, we had a leading candidate. We had sort of the wheels were in motion. This was the guy we wanted all along. I hope you can respect and understand why we weren't as forthcoming. Then when this came out about the Iowa State athletic director, you're less cynical and you're less like, this borders on an ethical breach, because there are coaches out there that wouldn't engage in this sort of thing, right?
Let me ask you a question.
There used to be a code, and it looks like this was betrayed.
Did they need to have a press conference to announce the firing of Tom Thibodeau, looking back on it?
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They could have, for what they did, what they said, they could have put that statement out that demonstrated their position, and they could have said at the bottom of it, we are undergoing a search for our new head coach, and we will announce him as soon as we have
him. Well, you're asking that question in hindsight, because the way that press conference, in my opinion, was mishandled. Did they need to have that press conference? No. Did they need to have a press conference? Yes, because you can handle a press conference better than they did and manage a message better than they did. So let's not revisit that ground, because I think there's always something to be gained from being transparent. And I think that you have a press conference and you're transparent as much as you can be and saying we're moving in a new direction, we're excited about it, we have a preferred candidate, we're moving on. Okay. So, but back to the Steve Kerr thing. You know, when you have a coach as open about that, because he's saying, I wanted to gain a strategic advantage because it's all about winning here, guys. Mm-hmm. Can't we all understand each other? He relates. Everyone in the room relates to that.
Right. But now if he has a press conference Sunday morning before they play Sunday night and he says, hey, coach, any changes in the lineup? Nope, we're going with Iguodala. We're doing that. If I was in that room, I would say, why should we believe you?
You shouldn't.
And he might laugh and go, you probably shouldn't.
You're right. And then that's the interplay. And that's what but you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting, and he's not trying to represent something that isn't there. That's what bothers media members. That's what bothers you. That's what bothers anybody.
Right.
When somebody tries to represent something that isn't there, it seems disingenuous.
Agreed.
There's nothing disingenuous about Steve Kerr.
Agreed.
He's forthcoming. He's glib. He's funny. The story behind this is even more of a compliment to Steve Kerr as a coach.
But see, if he had come out and said after the game, someone said, hey, you said you were starting Bogut. He wasn't feeling great at the, you know, after shoot around, so I made the change late. And then someone went to Bogut, and Bogut goes, I wasn't feeling bad.
Then
I
you
knew
have
it
an issue.
Shoot around. Now you've got one lie on top of another lie on top of another, top of another. He just came out today, man, it's gamesmanship. Sorry.
Did you hear about how this idea transpired, how it all went down? It's great. Lee Jenkins from SI.com has a tremendous look at this. A 28-year-old staffer, video guy who cuts video, guy who rebounds for Steph Curry, the guy who is do-everything in the Warriors organization, was with Steve Kerr in Phoenix. He's kind of like he's one of those guys that every organization needs. His name is Nick Uren, and U-R-E-N.
I thought you said Nick Uren.
I knew you would,
what?
So I wanted to spell it for you because you're 12. So I wanted to spell it for you. So anyway, he's a Warriors staffer. He's cutting up tape. He's cutting up tape late Wednesday night. He's seeing that last year against the Heat, the Spurs made a change in the lineup when they went small, and it frustrated LeBron. And so he texts Luke Walton, the assistant coach for Steve Kerr, says, hey, you know, what do you think about this? You remember this? You think about that? Luke Walton takes it to Kerr. This is 3 a.m, a text, right? So it's there when he wakes up. They wake up Thursday morning. They have a meeting. They discuss Nick Uren's idea. Stop giggling. And Kerr gives voice to a 28-year-old staffer's idea. They debate it, and they come up with, they say, let's try it. And he gives them credit for it.
But most coaches wouldn't give credit. I know these guys. They're not given credit. Quietly, they'd be like, nice job, kid. They would take the credit. That's how the ego works.
That's why you like Steve Kerr.
Love Steve Kerr.
Because this is a 28-year-old staffer that is basically cutting up your video, who comes up with an idea that you execute, and now it changes the series. So that's a big deal. So congratulations to Nick Uren.
Now, let me just tell you.
I'm probably saying it wrong.
Nick.
But how would you pronounce U-R-E-N?
Uren.
Okay.
So let me just give old Nick a tip. Nick, you obviously know the game. You obviously have a great work ethic because Steve took you from Phoenix to Golden State. If you want to be a head coach in this league, you better change your name, dude. No team's going to have urine on the sideline.
Oh, man. Come on. That's not fair. That's a good idea. Give the kid some credit.
Great job. Just change your name. Find a family name.
What did your name used to be?
Lance McAllister. That's his radio name. He's got a real name.
Does he?
Yeah.
Are you letting the cat out of the bag here?
Sure. Lance Gose.
Is it?
G-O-S-E.
What's wrong with Lance Gose?
His news director in South Bend didn't like it, so he said...
That got changed in South Bend?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Yeah.
Who's the news director in South Bend that changed his name?
I
want to know more about
this
now.
And so, you know who Lance McAllister's named for? Michigan State quarterback Bobby McAllister.
No kidding?
Yes.
I did not know that story.
That's a true story.
What your name used to be? Stop dodging the question.
Same here, baby.
David Brack? Something really, like, abrupt.
I'm crazy. That's it. Hey, get the ultimate experience of the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today and see the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them up at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, and the best customer service in the world, shop where we shop. Apt. A-B-T. Apt.com. App pleasing people since 1936. Ask for the one and only, my bald brother, Steve Shapiro.
How about Hannah Storm?
That would be Storin.
Yes, Hannah Storin.
Her dad, Mike Storin, was commissioner of the CBA.
Okay, you knew that one.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are others,
awfully
too.
Awfully good.
He was awfully, awfully good, she's awfully, awfully good?
Best legs on sports TV. Take a timeout. We'll be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
No, I didn't have to go through any concussion protocol. I mean, I had a slight headache, which I think every last one of you guys would probably have if you ran into a camera. You might have a little bit more than that, you know, but I didn't go through any protocol. I'm fine. Like I said, I got a few stitches.
That's LeBron, who ran into a camera last night, gashed his head open. And did you see what happened after he came out of the game? They stitched him up. He had blood running on his hands. Did you see all that?
Yeah.
See who came over to him?
Remind me.
His mother came over and kissed him. Kissed him on the bench.
Mommy too.
I love my mom.
Yeah.
Mrs. Kaplan's not coming down on the bench in the NBA Finals to kiss my head.
He's a bit of a drama king, is what you're getting at.
There's a lot of
production there. Everything with LeBron is. It looked worse than – I'm surprised he came back as quickly as he did, but he is LeBron. He does bleed. Cameras, I'm shocked that doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, with all the cameras around there. But there's a bigger proliferation of cameras in the finals than there would be in a regular season game.
Yeah, I'm already recovering from the Rick Hahn vocabulary experience, and now you're throwing proliferation at me? That's a big word for the cat man.
Keep up at your level, buddy. Okay. Did you ever get hurt in a game as a youth athlete parent come down on the field?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. But I've had some very freak accidents.
Really?
Yes.
Like?
Okay. You opened that door?
Yeah.
Eighth grade. I was in Knox, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Helmet, shoulder pad comes through my helmet in a middle school football game, cracks me in the eye, and I starts bleeding everywhere.
Face mask were you wearing?
I was wearing
a face mask
that I had gotten clocked so hard that the face mask went down, right? So I get clocked in the eye, blood everywhere. They bring the, you know, people out. I think my mom was there. And we ended up coming on the field. So you want to make fun of me? Mommy was there. That was the first time.
But eighth grade's different than being a 31-year-old pro.
All right, I was 17. I was in my junior year of high school. I was on the field, and during a timeout, I think I've told this story. I've written about it. My helmet breaks. They take it off. They want to get me back in the game. They throw me another helmet. I didn't really hear the coach say, "Hey, turn around. Hey, ha! Here's a helmet coming right at me. Knocks my two front teeth out."
Oh.
on the field. So then they call a timeout. Give me some grape bubble yum. Put it in my mouthpiece. Stick it in there. Go back in the game. During halftime, was it halftime? Whenever it was, I think my parents came down with my dentist. I was dating the dentist's daughter. So actually, that was really good on my part there.
Wow.
The dentist, who was a tremendous guy, one of the greatest guys that I grew up around, comes down there, Dr. Wonder, and with my mom around, they looked at my teeth. Because I was a 17-year-old with no front teeth. Dr. Wonder.
Oh, my God. Bizarre name.
Tom Wonder. Great Tom guy. Tremendous, tremendous man. So anyway, he comes down there, looks at it. But yeah, so my parents were there. I don't have as big of a problem with it because of my personal experiences. And then, yeah, when college, I had a knee issue during a game, pew, on a punt, got knocked out. I was tore my ACL.
And but you didn't.
They didn't. But my parents were on the sidelines there because it looked bad. Beginning of my junior year, thought I was out for the season.
At Northern Illinois, we had a point guard by the name of Jay Bryant. Played at West Aurora for Coach McDougal and then went with him to Northern. He breaks his nose during the game. He's a feisty, tough guy. And he gets, boom, broken nose. Blood comes off. He's on the bench. His mother, love her, she comes up to Jay. She said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I broke my nose, Mom." She said to the trainer, "Can he get hurt any worse?" "No." Then get your blank back in the game. You broke your nose. No big deal. And he went back in the game.
It's funny.
Coach McDougal loved her.
That's happened. I've had an experience like that too. I had a pretty crazy high school football coach, a guy who still is a Hall of Famer.
Still coaching?
Yeah, he's still coaching.
What's his name?
Not there. Not there. What are you going down trip memory lane today?
What's his name?
Russ Radke.
Russ Radke.
Russ Radke. He's an Indiana football coaching legend.
Coach Russ Radke.
But I had dislocated my thumb on the sidelines during a game. I think it was my senior year, and my dad was at the game. And my thumb was parallel with my wrist, okay? So it was, yeah.
Ugh.
And it came out of the game, so they get to the sidelines. And my dad was down there from the fence, the high school football field.
He's the coach of the New Prairie Cougars now.
Yes, he is. Good Google search.
The Google.
And they say, what are we going to do with this? Because dislocated thumb. So he said, we want to put Papa back into shape. And my dad was there. He looks over at my dad. Is it okay? He's like, yeah. Yeah, because it was like a big, yeah, go, do it. So they popped my thumb back into place.
Oh, that had to kill.
And the visceral scream from that happening, I could still feel myself doing that. And like, you know, it's one of those things. And my dad just looks and like, yeah, okay. So I, you know, you live both sides of that. But yeah, I can relate to that.
Okay, right now I just looked up the winningest current active coaches in the history of Indiana football. Larry Wright at Sheridan.
Bud Wright. He's a legend.
50 years so far. He's still going.
Yeah.
392 and 177.
One of those is in a state final game against North Judson.
When you played?
Yeah.
Did they beat you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm over it.
Yeah, I could tell. Russ Radke, number two.
Yeah.
New Prairie, 38 years, 324 and 125 for a 72.2% win percentage. And all time, Larry Wright is number one. Even for retired coaches, Jerry Brewer is number two.
Jerry Brewer, yeah.
Chris Giesman.
Oh, yeah, from Penn High School.
Number three.
Great
Russ
guy.
Radke, fourth all time.
Yep. Well, to whatever degree you think that I'm messed up, you know, screwed up.
It's pretty good.
Mentally challenged and disturbed, I blame him. He's the voice in my head. he's the voice in my head. You know, because when you're from a small town, it's Friday Night Lights type of a deal. But from the sixth grade on, you're like, this is the guy. You
know, I gotta play for him.
You want to please him every day.
By the way, Daniel Martinez on Twitter, at the Catman, don't go so hard on David Haw. His mother might show up at the studio.
She might send you an email. You never know.
Love it.
She's always
love
welcome. You want to do the remote from the living room. From
I
our
do.
Living room. Yeah.
I do. Hey, for weeks you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. Have you taken my advice and ordered yourself a MyPillow yet? MyPillow, the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Try it. Absolutely no risk to you. Sleep on it for 60 nights. If you don't love it as much as I do, no problem. Return it. They'll refund 100% of your purchase price. That's how confident MyPillow is in the product. MyPillow, the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation and me. I sleep like a baby every night because MyPillow has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity here. You need a pillow that keeps your head and cool and comfortable. Test one out. See why they've sold over 5 million. Act this week. MyPillow is giving you a 50% discount. 50% of all products on the website using promo code CAP. K-A-P. Log on. MyPillow.com. Promo code CAP. Or call 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com. Promo code K-A-P. 50% off. Hey, would you like to go to Game 6? See the Blackhawks? David and I will be there. You can too. Big news. Blackhawks fans, CSN Chicago is giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Enter for your chance to win now at csnchicago.com/game6. The winner will be selected Monday at noon. csnchicago.com/game6. Go there now. Timeout. We'll be right back. Chris Cook is next.
It's Cap and Haw.
Seen a lot of teams, a lot of hockey players, you know, a lot of different systems, and I gotta give a lot of credit to these guys. I would say the top eight guys who's been here for 6-7 years. These guys are so dedicated for this sport and hockey, and just taking care of themselves. And it surprised me. I never seen that before, and it is not surprised. These guys have won it a couple times and been in conference finals every year, and just happy to be here and happy to enjoy this, you know, journey. And hopefully we got two more wins first.
That's Kimmo Timonen. He's old and he plays hockey for the Chicago Blackhawks. He'll be in the lineup, it looks like, tomorrow night. Game 5.
So he's just loving life. Yep. Loving life right now,
there
as he should be.
And he will be retiring after this season.
Some people would say he's already retired.
Yeah, but I give him credit to be as good and as accomplished.
Would have been a nice story had he made it, scored that goal rather than hit the bar and bounce off.
All right, I'm David Kaplan, Peter Lissiger Award winner. David Haw is to my right. Did you know that? What a wonderful partner I have.
A Peter or what?
Jerky Boy doesn't even come in and let us know that he won the Peter Lissiger Award.
So now I'm Jerky Boy.
That's like a huge honor. That's like the Academy Awards of writing.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you.
Next time, let us know.
Okay, I'll let you know.
We might not do anything for you, but at least let us know.
Exactly.
Chris Cook joins us now from the Chicago Tribune. Cookie, my buddy's in a bowling shirt, ready to talk hockey with you.
That's quite a choice of attire there. Is it game day or what?
Thanks, Chris. What's the deal? I mean,
I have my TV on and you're wearing a bowling shirt. Maybe you got a big league game or something.
I will blame my wife for that. You should see my shoes.
They're rentals that he hasn't brought back yet.
Yeah, right.
From the bowling lanes. All right, let's talk about tomorrow night. When you look at the style of play, I mean, we're seeing such amazing speed and there's all these skill players. Yet, Eddie told us at the start of the series, would not be shocked to see a 7-6, 6-5 game at some point. We haven't seen that. We see a 2-1 game the other night. Will we see one of these high-scoring affairs, or nope, the checking is so tight, it's not going to happen?
I think it's going to be low-scoring. I mean, certainly they can open it up at any time, but I was talking to Brad Richards after the game the other night, and he said no one ever would have thought that Tampa Bay is checking as well as it is, and said they're the best checking team they've faced all season long right now, which is pretty remarkable considering, you know, you think about them as an offensive team and the triple line and Stamkos racing up and down the ice. But, you know, I think they've got the formula. It's John Cooper. Formula to win hockey games in the Stanley Cup Finals. Not really the run and gun. It's to play tight checking, get a couple of greasy goals, you know, score on the power play if you get a chance. And right now, you know, Tampa's looking really good. And, you know, I've talked to David about this and some others about this. You know, I think as good as the Lightning are playing, I just don't think the Blackhawks are playing their game that they played all season long or for the most part of the season. So that's why I still have the Hawks winning this series. But right now, they got some issues to correct, and it's just a kind of an odd time not to be playing your best hockey.
It is an odd time not to be playing your best hockey. It's an odd time to have all four lines kind of reconfigured and then back to what they were and kind of a mixture of everything. What do you expect tomorrow night, Chris? I know we're not going to get any sort of answers or direction from Joel Quenneville or even players because they went to such a high degree to conceal what they're going to do the other night. But if you were to guess, based on being around this team as long as you have, what might the lines look like tomorrow night?
Well, I think that Joel Quenneville's got to start with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane on separate lines, and I think he's got to stick with it. And that's a reversal of my opinion earlier on in the series when I thought maybe get your best center out there with Patrick Kane. But the Lightning are proving that they can win the matchup battles even when they're on the road. You've got to split those two guys up so that you get some separation as far as top defensemen top checking line. So that's what I do if I'm Joel Quenneville. I put Jonathan Tate on that top line, and I leave Patrick Kane on that second line. You can mix and match there, and I wouldn't put Andrew Shaw back at center. In my opinion, he's a much better player at wing. So I think that, you know, if you go, whether you go Versteeg, you know, Richards, Kane, I'd be fine with that. And then, you know, I think Patrick Sharp played his best game that he's played in probably months the other night. So that's a good sign for the Blackhawks to get him going. I wouldn't mind seeing him up on the top line there. But it's just this matter of finding the right, you know, combinations. And I think Joel had that against the Ducks. You know, we were all raving about how all season long he pushed the blender, and then he gets against the Ducks and he puts out the perfect lines. And now he's just all over the place again. Again, odd timing with the final. But he's certainly trying to find, you know, the right trios. And I'm not sure it quite worked the other night. They came out of that with a win, which I think is fortunate because, as I said, they didn't play their best hockey. He didn't have their best lines. You've got to be better in Game 5.
Good old number 91, Brad Richards, very honest with the Penn and Mike Club after the game the other night on Wednesday when he said, look, we haven't seen a team check like this as tightly as they're playing us, and I don't think any of us expected this. Do you think they underestimated? They'll never admit it, but do you think, yeah, they underestimated how good Tampa is?
I think so. I think first they underestimated how fast Tampa is. We all talk about how they're at great speed, but they're exceptionally fast in the neutral zone. That's something the Blackhawks haven't had to deal with too often, so they're making adjustments there. And, yeah, we mentioned that earlier about the checking. No one really thought that Tampa was going to be able to shut down in this high-flying Blackhawks offense. Certainly, I think a lot of areas the lighting have surprised the Hawks, and I guess it's a matter of not seeing them very often. And I think that Tampa's also playing some of its best hockey of the season. They're picking the right kind of people. The Blackhawks, on the other hand, are picking a bad time to not play well.
You know, Chris, I mentioned this to you on the way out the other night at the United Center after Game 4, and I found it interesting still seeing Kimo teaming at the podium yesterday. We heard a little bit from him leading into this segment. I think that Joel Quenneville, who doesn't show a lot of sentimentality, to me has shown some here in the decision to bring back Kimo Timonen, and I think the way that he even alluded to acknowledge the fact that it would have been a great story had he scored. And I think that it's impossible to remove that from the equation when you're dealing with a 40-year-old veteran who was here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to win a cup.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're right. Joel doesn't really do things like that, but I think he thinks it's a great story. Maybe it's the old defenseman in him that he recognizes a guy is playing his last couple of games in his career, a really a terrific career, and he battled back from those blood clots. He was off for a year. He comes to the Hawks. He doesn't play very well, but Joel puts him in there. He got away with it. Whether he sticks with him, I don't know. But there's also the other flip side that Joel Quenneville doesn't like a whole lot of playing rookies, especially rookie defensemen, in the Stanley Cup final. So, you know, Timonen, I thought he was completely overmatched in the Ducks series and almost feared for him on the ice. The Ducks were just laying the body on him every time, and he couldn't get out of the way. I thought he was fine the other night. I mean, that's terrific. It would have been a great story if he scored that goal, and everybody would have been smiling, but, you know, and went up the crossbar instead. Joel also at this point needs to worry about getting the best lineup out there. Now, he's got Timonen in the lineup. At some point, he'll be on the cup if they, you know, if they win it, and he would have been on anyway. They could have petitioned to have him on there anyway. But I think that Joel Quenneville's got to look at what the Lightning are doing, what his team is doing, and, you know, maybe he likes the way that the team is skating right now. I thought he was a step faster than he was against the Ducks. Maybe it's just a matter of time, and it was the situation. But he shaved a couple years off his lifespan at some point just by having him in there and having some of the top players on the Lightning.
Chris, when you look at the goaltending situation for Tampa, we were talking about Steve Kerr yesterday, lied to the media. And then after the game, tip my cap, he admitted. Look, he said, I had a choice. I could have told you guys the lie. I could have said what I'm going to do, given David Blatt 6 hours to game plan for how I'm changing my lineup. Yeah, what was the other thing he said he could have done? There was three
choices. He said he could have told David Blatt. He could have
told the truth.
Or he could have said he was unsure and been evasive and then set off a Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter folly
phenomenon.
Of people wondering what's going on. Instead, he said, I lied to you. I told you I was going with Bogut, and I didn't. When you look at the whole gamesmanship, Joel has guys skating in warm-ups on different lines, and then they change, and we're not sure if Bishop's going to play, and we don't know what his injury is, and we don't know if he needs Imodium, the whole deal. What's your take on all that as a journalist?
I don't think Joel Quenneville's doing it to confuse the media. I don't think Joel Quenneville cares anything about Twitter. Frankly, I think it's Joel Quenneville's mustache. Coach Hughes' mustache is the best thing about Twitter as far as Joel Quenneville. But I just think that he's trying to keep the Lightning, maybe John Cooper, off his game a little bit. And Cooper, the same thing with the starting goaltender. I mean, obviously he knew earlier on who was going to be in goal, that it wasn't going to be Ben Bishop. You know, it's some gamesmanship. We've seen that in baseball throughout the years, and Quenneville's done this before. You know, Quenneville doesn't usually lie to the media. He won't look you right in the eye and say, yeah, this guy's playing when he's not. He'll just mostly say, we'll see. That's his standard. But I think it's more of trying to confuse with the Lightning. And, you know, I'm not sure how much of that works at some point. I mean, if I'm Joel Quenneville, I want my regular lines out there as much as possible. The guys who are going to skate in the game, I want them together, even if it's in the morning skate or even if it's pregame. I want them going together, get them clicking. But, you know, as I said, they're just trying to get in each other's heads. And I'm not sure it works in this day and age, but coaches have to have some fun as well.
Before we let you go, Chris, so heading back down to Tampa, the Hawks have to feel, I think, fortunate that they're tied 2-2 in a series where they haven't led 90% of the time. And I think that they have, you know, realized how good the Lightning are and how deep and talented this team is. But that said, psychologically speaking, aren't the Hawks exactly where they want to be? It's best of three against a team who hasn't been there before, and they certainly have.
Yeah, Blackhawks have been in situations before, been in worse situations. I think they got to be happy with where they are going down to Tampa, as you mentioned, because I don't think they've outplayed the Lightning. I think the Lightning have outplayed them. But you're talking about an experienced group who's won a couple of cups, most of these guys. They've been through the battles, been through it. They've been through it all. Not going to be any nervous Blackhawks on the ice in Game 5, but I could see a whole lot of Lightning people, you know, players going, geez, look where we are. We're two games away from winning the Stanley Cup, and then maybe they tighten up a little bit. But I think the Hawks are very confident they can win in Tampa. They've shown they can do that. They're very good on the road. I picked them in six. I still think they're going to win in six.
Chris, appreciate the time. By the way, John Schultz on the Twitter machine says, your guest is a fellow Hornet from Hinsdale South, class of 83. Is that accurate?
Well, I don't think I'm dating me, but yeah, that's accurate. Yes.
He's a big fan of yours.
Thanks, Chris.
Great, I appreciate it.
See you down there tomorrow.
Need all the fans you can get, right?
Absolutely. That's one, right?
Hey, David wants you to know it's bowling shirt night at the O'Malley Arena tomorrow.
I have to dig one out. I don't know if I have one, but you can probably lend a lot of people some bowling shirts.
That'd be a great trip video, wouldn't it? You and I in bowling shirts?
Exactly.
That'd be tremendous. All right. All the best, Cookie.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. There he is, the great Chris Cook, Chicago Tribune.
That gives us a good idea for those post-game videos that Chris and I do.
Bowling shirts.
Bowling shirt. This is not a bowling shirt.
With like
this is a birthday present, okay?
Like, what was your nickname in high school or
really
college?
You don't really want to know.
Yeah, I want to know your nickname.
I had some teammates would call me the professor.
The professor.
Yeah.
So we get a bowling shirt, professor.
Yeah.
And then the other one for him, Cookie.
Okay. Nobody calls me the professor anymore.
You are from now on.
No, I'm not the professor.
The professor. Cap and the professor.
And look up with the skipper. The skipper.
There you go. 312.
Hurts Marianne.
235-2525.
What happened to Ginger?
By the way, we have some breaking football news.
Okay, back
Brandon
to serious
Spikes
stuff.
Has been charged in a hit-and-run crash that injured three, and that's what precipitated his release. He has got four charges pending against him.
How badly injured were the three?
By the way, for those who don't know, that's the New England Patriots linebacker that they released
former
the other day.
Former linebacker.
They released him. They're not saying how seriously injured these people are yet.
What a coward.
So,
that's the first word that comes to mind. There's this big, tough guy runs away from a scene protecting his career. Yeah, three people that you injured.
Bad deal.
Bad look.
And the other Coach K, Nick Karin, K-A-R-I-N, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Love the region football references. Russ Radke, good stuff. I played it. Hashtag I played at Highland.
Yeah. And had another person already mention that I survived Russ Radke. Basically, that's what I feel too.
Take a time out. We'll come right back. It's Cap and Haw. This is CSN and WGN Plus.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Welcome back, Cap and Haw, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. All right, we'll talk Cubs in a second. They had a big win last night. They played long
another
ball.
One.
Home run. Dexter Fowler first into the right field bleachers.
And also an interesting
and McGee Montero, a
decision
three-run jack.
With Yoshi Wada. I'd like to talk about that, the
Got
way
it.
That Joe Madden handled that situation.
All right, let's grab Quentin on the west side,
though, right.
Because he's been holding for a month. Hey, Quentin, what's going on there,
hey,
Cookie?
Hey, Cappy, how? Good morning. Great win for the Cubs. Great win for the Blackhawks and the Warriors. So I think the Blackhawks and the Warriors are going to win championships. That's our pick. It's going to come down either game six or game seven between the Blackhawks and the Warriors. And another thing, I think y'all going way overboard on Bobby Ventura and this graduation thing. Think about this, that my coworker, she got a graduation tomorrow, so I'm filling in for her because I got to work tomorrow morning because I'm a team player.
Well, that's a nice thing for you to do,
yeah,
Clinton.
Very nice
that's
of you to do.
Very nice gesture on your part.
And another thing, Jurassic World is tonight, and that's what I'm going to go see. And after that, Ted 2, starring Mark Wahlberg and the Bear. And it's going to be a fight scene between Tom Brady, Mark Wahlberg, and the Bear. So that's going to be hilarious. So watch y'all go check it out.
All right, Quentin. Thanks a lot.
Quentin, you have a great weekend, buddy.
Usually Tom Brady wins those fight sequences with any Bears.
Yes.
Yeah. Handily.
Handily. Not a problem.
I hear the Jurassic World is a good movie.
I'm not a Jurassic guy.
My son went last night, and he's not a big movie guy either, but he liked it.
Well, I'm a movie guy, just not a Jurassic Park, Jurassic World guy.
I was surprised he liked it. I was surprised he went.
He's not a big movie guy, huh?
No. Well, it depends on the company. It's 14. Okay.
He'd go to a movie with his Uncle Cappy.
He's
my guy.
Who you bringing? Got any teenage girl relatives? Nieces?
I do have nieces.
Well, then he might be with you.
Zoe.
Just saying.
Zoe's a star lacrosse player. I mentioned her.
I know.
York.
Well, you know, yeah.
And she, what year is he going to be a sophomore?
Yeah.
Zoe is a sophomore.
Oh, well, okay. Then he might be game. I'm just saying, he's got a tendency to not want to go to the movies with his mom and dad.
You know what you just opened the door to, right? Cap, family parties.
Stop.
More time, more Cappy. Cap, in your life.
Cap and Haw. For real.
Hi, this is my niece, Zoe Haw.
The sequel. No, we'll stop that.
It's a bad reality TV show right there.
Holy smokes.
As opposed to this one?
Holy it's arguable. 312-235-2525 is our phone number. All right, so Cubs get her done last night. Get a couple bombs, but they get an awful performance out of Tsuyoshi Wada. He was not good.
He was not good, but did you think it was a quick hook?
No. He's not good.
Okay, but
for all the good moves they've made, $4 million for that guy?
I was surprised. It's a lot of money. But you were singing his praises.
No.
Don't you remember the debate
no.
we had? I was a Travis Wood guy. You were a Wada guy. You said Wada should have the nod
I
over
said,
Travis Wood.
Travis Wood's been lousy, so give this guy a chance.
And I was like, okay, maybe, you know, I'd like to see more Travis Wood. You said, no, Wada. $4 million is a lot of money. He took him out in the fifth inning, right? He only pitched.
Took him out after three.
I'm looking at three innings.
Now the bullpen was phenomenal. Six innings of scoreless baseball.
Wada has failed to complete six innings and five starts.
Yeah, six innings of shutout, two-hit baseball for the bullpen.
Joe Maddon had seen enough. Now, so the lead to Gordon Whitmire's sidebar in this morning's Sun Times, though, would bring Cub fans a little bit of a cringe moment. Will Edwin Jackson be far away from becoming the Cubs' next flavor of the month as a fifth starter?
Yes, please.
What?
We've seen enough of Edwin Jackson.
What are your alternatives? That's what I'm asking you, Cub guy.
Go make a deal.
You and Holly are doing the post-game, pre-game, in-game, whatever. You and Holly, you're talking Cubs.
Make a trade.
Well, you're not making a trade. It's not that simple. It's June 12th. The trade market's not going to heat up for at least another month.
Well, guess what? We're six games over. It equals the high water mark. I don't want to watch Wada run out there again.
You're in hot Wada.
Yeah, you're hot Wada. No question about it.
It was just laid there for me. Sorry.
It was. That was good.
So you want to trade, but you can't trade. So what are you going to do until you trade? Who's next? Edwin Jackson is there. He's done it before. He can get hot for a couple starts. You might be just being a seat filler, placeholder, temporary. But
no, because you know what my big fear is that they put him out there?
What?
That he actually throws decent for two games and they get deluded into thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
because success is bad. Success is what you don't want. You want to try to catch lightning in a bottle. And I don't mean Steven Stamkos.
By the way, we have breaking news from there.
Yeah. Hold on. Stop with the breaking news. Your definition of breaking news sometimes is a new menu item at Harry Carey's and maybe something that is really blockbuster. So How about we just interrupt with a Twitter update?
Oh, we have a Twitter update.
Okay.
From Craig Custance of the covers the NHL.
Yeah,
he's Ben Bishop sat out practice today, but John Cooper would not rule him out for tomorrow night's game.
So
it was part of the plan to rest him.
So we know nothing.
Pretty much. We know that he didn't practice today.
He did not practice
That's
today.
Breaking news, Mike. That's big news.
7-8. Ha, just worry about your White Sox and don't worry about the Cubs' rotation.
Beautiful.
People are still going to think I'm a Sox fan.
They do.
Yeah, whatever.
And a Panther fan. I already got that tweet. Is he a Panther fan or what?
I'm flying down to Charlotte tonight. No, wait. That's Tampa. I hope I'm going to Tampa.
Murph in Glen Ellen. Hi, Murph. Welcome to Cap'n Hall. What's going on there, Slappy?
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
So after Wada kind of imploded, and I'd say the last couple of starts, he's definitely struggled. And with Wood and Edwin Jackson in the bullpen, with Rafael Soriano about to come into the mix, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how are they going to be able to fit all of these guys in the bullpen and the staff?
Good question.
And then they're being linked to back Papelbon as well with Neil Ramirez about to come off the DL. I'm just trying to figure, you know, who's going to be the, you know, the man left out.
Well, look,
it's a good question.
For
Murph.
Every 64 rumors, one might happen.
Absolutely.
Papelbon
well,
is
Jackson,
a rumor right
you know,
now.
It,
right.
Yeah, Edwin Jackson, you know, you owe him so much money. Can we cut bait with him? You know, Wada, what does he – you can't get three innings out of your starter. That is a joke.
Right. You're not going to win most of the time when that happens.
You're in a lot of trouble. Thanks, Les.
Wow, you're just rolling. You are just rolling today.
That was bad. I know. But, okay, who's more likely to be a Cub by July 31st, Cap? Cole Hamels or Jonathan Papelbon?
I'm going to go neither.
I think the Papelbon thing has been maybe, I don't know this for sure, but overstated. Seems like there's not a whole lot there.
We need to get a little more production in the outfield. Maybe Ian Happ can start this year.
We'll find out when we talk to him.
Next on Cap'n Hall.